This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We used a different cadence this week.
Mine was extra loud and flat.
And mine was morning newsy.
We're talented in ways you've never experienced, even though you've been listening to this podcast for 9 years.
Yeah, you think you've heard all of our characters, but
you haven't heard shit.
You don't know shit.
You don't know shit about us. Chris, right now, guys, because this is a podcast, so let's paint a word picture.
Yeah, we have to describe it using words.
Chris has, he's using his earphones as a headband, which is always appealing to me because he has kind of, I would say, early 90s college girl hair.
Yeah.
And then, but he's also wearing a pair of readers that have no frames. It's a look that it's different than skateboard Chris, and it's different than comedy Chris. And it's different than Christmas sweater, Chris. It's a whole new character.
Yeah, you're right. I do have a lot of different me's.
Right?
This one, yeah, is like we were saying before, a bit of a college professor. And my eyebrows match that. My eyebrows have become very out of control, like any professor you had in college, where his eyebrows are each like a little mustache that curls up at the ends.
Yeah,
I've got the whole thing. I just need to get a corduroy sport coat
and some nose hair and just get lecturing.
I am do you pluck your nose hair, Karen?
Well, I do any number of things. I have the highly unfortunate life of being Black Irish, so I have pale skin and dark hair. So, like, I can shave my legs and my skin can be silky smooth, but you can still see the hair waiting to come up in roughly 5 to 6 hours.
Right.
So, facial hair, the whole thing, it's a constant battle. So,
when I said right, I'm not agreeing because I've seen it. I'm saying right because I know what you're saying.
Because you empathize with my plight.
Yeah. You know,
so everyone smiled, there will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. There will be something coming out of there every once in a while. It's very alarming. And I am aware of it because my mother suffered from it as well, and it drove her insane.
I can't believe how much pain is involved with and people do it all the time. They pluck their nose hairs. And I always think I have a high pain tolerance because I think back to when I've broken not one ankle, but also the other foot simultaneously. And I took that very well, but I cannot pluck my own nose hair. It's the worst. I'll let it grow. I'll trim it, but I plucking it. And I can't. So many people, women do it all the time and they can take the pain. Men can't take that pain.
We don't have the option. We don't have the option. It's unacceptable for a woman to have nose hair. It says you can't make it right in any way.
I want it to be to where no one has nose hair. Can we live in that world? Can the world
like
finally
that? We evolve.
Yes.
We evolve out of it.
Yes.
Yes, we can. I believe we can do anything we want.
Well, I'm going to start waxing my nose.
That won't hurt at all.
It doesn't. It's all one fail swoop. You get them all. It's like a plug that comes out.
Well, you should be doing that. You should be going in and grabbing groups of hairs when you pluck your nose hair, because then you just have the pain at one time.
So now, not to be graphic, but and we'll bring on our guest in a minute. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people wonder why we talk, and we didn't even warn Dave that we do talk for up to 5 minutes.
Dave's been on this podcast 19 times.
He's dozing
he
right now.
Know.
I'm looking at the video of him right now.
He's
dozing. Actually dozing. We'll bring you in a minute. Could you keep that mouth shut? We have to bring you up.
Shut your mouth, Dave.
I'm going to start waxing myself, and that includes my undercarriage. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. I know there's at-home kits.
Why?
I know I can do
what?
It. Because
children are in the car.
I have a series of mirrors, and I'm not going to do it in the car with the kids.
No.
I'm going to do it at home. And I know I can do it. I know I can lay on my back and with my legs in the air, and I know I can wax myself. And this is
Why?
For me. It's not
Why?
For a photo shoot. Okay. I want to be hairless, and I want to swim around in the ocean like a shiny seal. And I don't want hair getting in the way of a lot of my swim speed.
Okay. All right. That I get.
Yeah, I have new swim gloves. They're webbed in between the fingers. I know I got speed. And the only thing keeping me down is these goddamn pubes.
Anyway. All that ass hair dragging you to the bottom of the sea.
Okay, now that's
all right.
That's a bit
plenty.
Much. But yes, you can also go and get between the cheeks, it's called. If you're a man, you have to say, will you do between the cheeks? I'm out of that world. I don't do it anymore, but I'd like to do it at home. Like an Ogilvy home perm.
I shudder to think what you mean by that world. But you know what? Let's get our guest in on this conversation. Because
it's a whole world.
Chomping at the bit.
It's a whole world waiting. Our next guest. We've had multiple guests
over the years.
Our first guest today.
Today, the first one, yes.
I first met him when he hosted a show downtown called Holy Fuck that became the best show in town. It was a very popular show and subsequently was albums of comedy entitled Holy Fuck. He's done so much since then, but now I've drawn a blank. We almost had a record label together that we'll talk about.
Oh, sure.
We almost started a comedy record label.
And yesterday was his birthday.
Yesterday,
please
was,
welcome.
Yes,
Mr. Dave Ross.
Dave Ross, everyone.
Hello, Sorry. Everyone. It's nice to finally fucking be here.
Happy
you know?
Birthday.
Good
Happy
God.
Happy birthday.
We build the suspense. We build the tension.
Yeah.
So you come in hot,
man.
And you're ready to go.
Yeah.
That was like 6 minutes. I couldn't
of perfect
take it.
Material?
It's true. 6 minutes of me laughing and enjoying myself. Absolutely.
And he's furious about it.
No, thank you so much for having me. I love you both. So this is great.
Oh, we love you too.
We love you too, Dave.
I'm going to say
yesterday was my birthday.
How was it?
Yeah, what'd you do?
I'm sick, so it sucked. But it was fine, you know. And I don't have COVID. I want to I honestly thought because of being sick, I thought like maybe I should reschedule. I'm sick. But it's not COVID, and I do think it's kind of funny to talk about how like I don't know. What happened was I went to a comedy festival. And mm-hmm. the entire festival was vaccinated. Everyone was very safe. And then I got sick when I got back. And it dawned on me that I hadn't gotten sick in like a year and a half. And I don't really know what changed in the past year and a half. But I don't know. Just off the top of my head, I'm guessing that perhaps I wasn't around a bunch of comedians all the fucking time. And wouldn't you know it, I didn't get sick for a year and a half. And then I went and I was around a bunch of comics and I got a cold right away. And obviously quarantine was bad, but one upshot was that I didn't get sick once a month. I feel like it's once a month that as a touring stand-up I get sick, you know?
Sure.
You might need some vitamin D or something.
No.
Yeah, this is sounding like more of a character flaw.
No. Hold on. here's how you be healthy. You stay inside and you don't sleep and you eat meat and nothing else and you're always drunk, right?
All right, Joe Rogan.
Yeah. And you never work out ever.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
No, my birthday was fine. I just got a cold, you know?
Yeah.
So you just stayed home and hung out?
I stayed home. Yeah. It was, I don't know.
Do you want to tell us about your birthday cake?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. So my good friend Lindsay Adams, who is a funny comedian and also a good baker and combines the two often, was like, I'm going to make you a cake. I didn't ask. Matter of fact, I was sick when she said it because I got sick the day before my birthday. And she kept asking me what I wanted for my cake. And I just like couldn't answer. And she was like, whatever, I'm making you a cake. And the cake was just a jet black cake that said, fuck you, Dave.
Was it black?
Yeah, jet black. It was like Oreo cookie frosting. And then it tasted like an Oreo. It was so good. I mean, she's so good at what she does. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I saw that cake and I loved it. Fuck you, Dave.
Yeah.
Great.
It was perfect.
You didn't give her. You got to let people know what you want
totally.
On your cake.
Yeah.
Even if you have a cake made at a cake shop or in the back of a market, they're going to put fuck you if you don't tell them exactly
what
you
want.
Yeah. Totally. God, I wish Ralph's were like that. What do you want on it?
There used to be a website called Cake Rex that was amazing. And it was basically all the worst, like, grocery store cakes where people it would say, like, happy birthday, Dave, spelled with a D. Or, you know what I mean? Like, the whole message would be on there. Like, however the people wrote it down from the phone.
So it
would be
great.
Like... you know, happy birthday, Cheryl, with an S. And with an S would also be on the cake.
Right. Oh, my God. That's great. Because it was
wonderful.
In the phone message.
Yes, exactly. Or they try to do a Shrek, but the person clearly just didn't have any skills. So it would be like three piles of green and some eyes. You have to look at it. It used to get me through my day.
Yeah, that's the best. I want that. I want to see it right now. At the end, it says, do you take American Express? Just a whole conversation on a cake.
On a cake, the whole thing. So good. But also, you know, no criticism to Lindsay, who sounds like a very talented person. But it is, I hate it anytime people want to do something like for my birthday or for me, but then give me assignments where it's like,
yes,
you know, could you just make me a cake and have it not be work for me also?
Yeah.
Just like, do you execute the idea as if you wanted to do it and then I have it?
Yeah.
Can I say, actually, yeah, I mean, I should also, in her defense, say she didn't wait long. She was like, what do you want? And I was like, and she was like, what do you want? And I was like, and she was like, whatever, fuck you. You're getting an Oreo cake. And then the Oreo cake said, fuck you. So, you know, she caught up, you know. And
okay, good.
I agree with you. And matter of fact, I agree with you to the extent of like, I wish, and this is going to be, granted, I am... A couple things happen when I'm sick, especially I'm in a fog. I'm like, fine, you know, I'll be okay. I'm almost over it, but my head isn't entirely clear. So at some point during this podcast, I might just say something weird, you know, I might just like yell at Brand and you're like, why did he do that? And I also am grouchy. So, and I know that. So I'm going to, this is a little bit of a grumpy thing to say, but I always appreciate it when people say happy birthday, but particularly when we're comics and we know a million people and you know we're getting a bunch of them, just like say the one. You know what I mean? When it's like happy birthday and I'm like, thank you. And then you're like, how are you? I'm like, I really want you to die. there are so many texts in my phone right now. I just cannot. And I was sick yesterday and I like racked up. And this is like such a champagne problem. I had so many people saying happy birthday. I realize that it's like not a real problem, but I would. It's like my friends and we've all been in quarantine for a year and a half. And like I said, I went to that festival. There's like a million comedians. There's like the three that are my close friends. And then there's like 200 that I really, 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 really like. And then there's another larger chunk of people that I see and know, you know? And, That big chunk, and then my close friends are texting me, and I'm just like looking at my phone, getting these notifications, and I'm like, do all of you want to have a conversation? Because I would rather know no people. I would rather have no friends than have this amount of conversations in one day.
You know what, David? I think you need to lay down for a little while. I think you need to put a warm compress on your head.
Am I being grumpy?
No, you're sucks. Fine. You gave us the grumpy warning.
You did warn us. We're ready. We're ready for
it. Have you, Dave or Karen, ever had a surprise? I haven't. Where people hide and they jump out and say, happy birthday, we love
you. I'm going to tell mine first because I'm rude. For my 40th birthday, I had a surprise party and it was perfectly planned because I went out to breakfast with my friends and then Pete planned this party like to start at 1 o'clock, which you'd never expect. So it was basically like a barbecue afternoon party, but I, of course, I was like, oh, I'm going to go to breakfast this morning and maybe we'll do something tonight that was the plan for the day. So we had had breakfast at Little Dom's and their coffee, which we had a fuck ton of, is incredibly strong. My favorite kind of coffee, like Italian roast, really black, wonderful, strong coffee that we drank all throughout breakfast and got crazy, like caffeine high on. When I walked through that front door and 40 of my friends screamed happy birthday or screamed surprise, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I literally was like, it was so fucking unexpected and bizarre and like really confusing. And then I was over caffeinated beyond belief that I literally was like, this is it. It was crazy.
What a specifically terrible thing to have happen on your 40th too. I feel like I turned 39 this year and I feel like if I were to have any version of a heart thing on my 40th, I'd be like, this is what they said. This is what they said.
Yes.
Happens.
It just happens overnight. Yeah. Suddenly you're just old and weak.
You just die. You have a 40th birthday party and you just die immediately.
You collapse.
And on top of everything, you suddenly need reading glasses. Your body, your corpse.
Ooh, I had a good
your dead corpse.
Thing you might be with your hair and your glasses. I want
for Halloween.
Perfect.
Yeah. No. I mean, like when Karen was like, "You look like this." I got one. Okay. I got one. Yeah, with the reading glasses and the free. I think you look like if Doc Brown's son was a rapper.
Yeah. You know? Yes. Yes. Chet Hanks.
Yeah. The Chet Hanks of
universe.
Doc Brown. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God. That sounds great.
Give us a little, Chris? Take a moment and then give us a little Doc Brown's son who's also a rapper, please.
You see me roll up in my DeLorean, but no one's awake because they're snoring. Yes. Everyone's napping. No one's here. Didn't have a party. But still, it's a cheer because I cheers myself when I drink alone.
Yes.
Against a lamp, I'll tap the throne. Then I sit on the toilet because I have a bad case of... rapping's hard, isn't it?
It's so like, hard.
My back is sweaty, and now I gotta sit like this all wet. I'm still rapping, by the way. I'm still rapping. Guys, stop interrupting. I'm in the middle of my song, then it won't be long.
Oh,
so
man.
I gotta call
I
the phone.
A monster. I feel
wait for a song. It's a call waiting song. Tech support. Man. Everybody
this
knows.
Somehow
that
became a whole other podcast. This is like a very different podcast now.
What if the whole time I talk like this, interrupting, getting all filled with disses for you and you and everybody I know.
Oh, boy.
Chris has snapped.
And that's the end of the show. I said that's the end of the show. I'm back.
Oh, he's back.
Thanks,
great job.
Thank you. Well, you know.
That was nice.
It's just
now
whatever comes into your head, you say it, and there isn't a lot of pressure to rhyme with modern day rap.
That's true.
Yeah, it's more lyrical, it's more narrative.
I'm so upset you made me do that, Karen.
You loved every fucking second
excited.
Of it and you wouldn't stop.
I was excited. And then I just didn't do as well as I thought I would.
You were great. Are you kidding? It rhymed at all.
Oh,
that's incredible.
I mean,
right. You didn't bail.
That was like really
fishing.
Only did you not bail, you the opposite of bailed. You continued and kept rhyming. I feel honestly, I'm like really impressed.
You powered through.
Yeah. The one time I had to freestyle rap at a venue, it was on Sunset. Someone handed me the mic and I said, "My name is Chris and I'm here to say, I don't know what to do. Please take this away." And I handed the mic away. That was my rap.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, it went very well. Was well received.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Because they knew that I shouldn't have continued.
One time I saw Josh Androsky at, what was the show? The downstairs show, Paul Danke and those guys downstairs show.
At Rafi's?
Remember the weird art? Yes, Rafi's.
Yeah, that? Comedy Garage.
At the Comedy Garage, Josh Androsky at the end of his set challenged a guy in the audience to a rap battle. And then it turned out the guy was really fucking good at rapping.
He was
just some blonde guy. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen because Josh wasn't terrible at it. But then this guy came back and fucking like destroyed the room.
Wow.
And no, it was not planned, obviously. And not like
it was just Machine Gun Kelly. Just Machine Gun Kelly was standing. What?
Waiting for his big chance.
Yeah.
That's how his career
got
started.
He got discovered. That's so funny. And Josh was like, "I'm going to give you $1 million."
Yep. Yeah.
I have it.
I have it for you.
Yeah.
That's how his career started.
Wow. That is such a funny thing about being a comedian, isn't it? Like, I know I've now been around 10 or 12 years. And in my first 4 years, 5 years of stand up, everybody I knew, everybody that I was close with, we were stand ups. And you couldn't have convinced me that these people, I knew that they were all. Like, I still, I don't know, maybe you feel this way too, but I still think all the people I came up with are like the funniest people, you know, and we end up in different places and stuff. But at the time, I was like, these are all comedians. They are all stand-ups. Even though they're all different and weird, they will all always be stand-ups. And now with like some distance from it, it's really funny and interesting to me how many of them ended up in other random places. Josh, who I think is like a lobbyist
for the coal industry.
No,
he really, it took a turn with him.
Right. Yeah.
Change.
Yeah. He's an Enron guy. And I know Enron's gone, but
I thought he was kind of hippie-ish before, but now he absolutely is for
he actually
fossil fuels
makes gold toilets for the Trump family.
He sculpts them.
No, he is like a political activist. And I guess he always was that, but that's like most of what he focuses on now. When I talked to him, he worked for Nithya Raman and other people.
Wow.
And, you know,
so
I mean,
he moved away, or does he still live?
No, he's still here.
You can be in politics and live in Los Angeles. That's interesting. Yeah. It's nice to know there's a plan B.
Yeah, it goes comedian, and that's the most important job. And then lobbyist, which is clearly not what he's doing, and I just don't know what the word for it is.
Go ahead.
And then
everyone go ahead.
Everyone at the same time. This is the zoomiest of awkward conversations. But Chris, I was just gonna do who Chris reminds me of, which is like an environmental studies professor.
Mm, yes. Who's a rapper.
Who also raps about apartheid and, you know, stuff like that, you know, just causes and stuff.
Yeah.
It's only one world, gotta take care of it. It's only one world, gotta take care of it.
Yes.
Even when you wipe, even when you shit, you got what?
Sorry.
It's always shitting.
What else am I gonna rap about?
I've been
in my apartment all day shitting. You rap about what you know.
I'm like a conservationist shit rapper.
I was gonna start talking about water conservation. And don't flush.
Guys, did you know that Eminem, speaking of shit rappers, that Eminem, just kidding.
Ah, that was
nice. No. But he just opened a restaurant called Mom's Spaghetti in his hometown.
No.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
For real.
That's
and
incredible.
He went and served the first 10 people in line himself.
What?
Oh my God.
And then was like, bye, I can't do this anymore.
That's like if Macklemore opened up keyboards and kneeboards. You have to, I mean, you got to have a plan B. That's important.
It's also sort of like Charles Manson opening a spaghetti restaurant. Not that Eminem killed anyone, but he says he's going to all the time.
Yeah, that's rap, though, Dave. You know that. That's the lifestyle.
But what if Triumph the Insult Comic Dog eats there and then he has poisoned spaghetti because they had beef back in the day?
That's true.
Or Moby.
Maybe that's why he's doing it. Sure. Moby, Fred Durst, Ja Rule. He's just like, it's just a long con to kill his enemies. And you know.
Poison spaghetti.
Yeah. Mom's poison. Should I call it that? I
don't think. No. Two on the nose. Let's just poison the spaghetti and call it Mom's spaghetti.
And Karen, you know, I know there's a lot of posturing in hip hop. And I know that there's a lot of like talking about violence. And some people were violent. But Eminem has always struck me as like most gangster rap, they're like, we shoot people. And then Eminem's like, I'm going to shoot specifically my wife.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everyone's like, what? Why? That's horrible.
He was very specific as a rapper.
Very strange. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when I first heard him, I'm like, is his mom still alive? Because she'd probably hate to hear this.
Right.
Very specific to his mom.
Yeah.
You're talking about the mom that he threw up mom's spaghetti?
Yeah, the one that made the spaghetti, that lady.
You took that as the spaghetti was so bad he threw it up.
His very first song.
Isn't that the rhyme?
Don't explain that song to me.
No, the first verse goes like this. My name is who? My name is what? My name is Mom Sucks. That's right.
Yeah. I remember that album.
Yeah, yeah.
Mom Sucks Shady. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
No, wasn't that the right? Isn't Mom Spaghetti from the 8 Mile soundtrack? And he says he's like nervous, so he throws up Mom Spaghetti. I thought
Your palms are sweaty.
Palms are sweaty.
Right. Can't forget. Gotta get ready. Mom Spaghetti.
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Oh, right. You know, it's one of the hardest.
Wow, totally. I love Tom Petty. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he does, too. He says that.
He does.
I hate my wife and I love Tom Petty. The Eminem story.
Wasn't that actual song, though? It's Lose Yourself, right?
Yes.
Very famous. Big hit.
Yes.
I still like it.
Totally.
It's great.
I like that song.
When you get pumped up for your rap battles, that's what you listen to on your Walkman.
It is my Eye of the Tiger. Because Eye of the Tiger doesn't put you in the mood. That's when I'm in a rock battle. I listen to that.
Wow. What's a rock battle?
They have them at the Whiskey a Go Go.
I'll bet you they actually do have them at the Whiskey a Go Go. Yep. Just like, ooh. Man, that's one of my favorite things about Los Angeles.
Your pants are too tight.
You know, like every now and then I'll occasion to go to that neighborhood. It's not where I live. It's not where I hang out. But but I go and I, you know, I like it. And but it's not like where I think to go. And so I forget. But when you go there, you're like pretty quickly reminded that on the Sunset Strip, there still are people in that culture and mode.
Yep.
And you see the dudes and they got fucking like spurs on their boots.
Yeah. Because they got to go operate the mechanical bull at Saddle Ranch.
Right. Totally.
In character.
That's the only way to get it to go faster is to dig your spurs into its, you know, whatever, battery.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're walking around. They got like a handkerchief hanging out their back pocket and they have a leather jacket and they have a shirt that says fucking, you know, stiff little fingers and like long hair. And I just forget, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's a really good Motley Crue story biopic or whatever. I think it's called Dirty.
Or
something like that. It's on Netflix something. And it's basically Nikki Sixx's memoir. They filmed it and there's a bunch of really great people in it. It's a delightful watch.
Really?
And yes. And they used to have an apartment that was right around the corner from the Roxy. And so they were always either at the Roxy or the Rainbow Room and doing shows at the Whiskey A Go Go, the Roxy, the Rainbow Room. But then their apartment, like they would finish a show, literally walk across the street and the audience would come to their apartment and they would do drugs and party all night. And it was like, it just makes me think we caught the tail end of that because I moved to LA in 94 and there was still a little bit of Rainbow Room type of action, that felt relevant. But
it reminds me of when I used to have a studio apartment near Silver Lake Lounge. And all the homeless people from the open mic would come eat my food.
Yeah, and watch YouTube videos. Yeah, it's a very similar scene.
Same vibe, same drugs.
Interesting, yeah. Isn't that so funny how, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say something that I guess is probably the exact same thing as you just said, Karen. I'm so sorry. But, like, a thing will
that's
just,
podcast,
like,
baby. Yeah, that's podcast.
We're all doing it over and over again on each other's shows. There's, like, a moment, right, where something is huge and then it just stays. And you forget that it stays.
mm-hmm. Yes.
But, yeah. Specifically, that neighborhood is like that because all of those venues are still there. And I'll bet you that when that stuff was popular, that it was the most fun ever being down there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Well, especially back then, I think people, you do drugs at your table. You know what I mean? Like those bars, like it was the whole vibe of the bar at the time was like rock stars get to party here and maybe you'll get in too. So, you know, that whole vibe was very specific.
Dave, do you remember when we were out to dinner and the guy we were with was doing drugs at the table?
Oh, yeah.
The waiter came and it's just cocaine.
Just doing drugs. It was really funny, too, because I think it's probably good for the sake of storytelling to not give many more details. I think we probably feel the same, Chris. Okay, still. But I think something that's worth saying is that, like,
still.
Chris and I were 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Yeah, at least.
And this was the type of person where it's like an interesting story. And it was so weird what happened that both Chris and I said no to doing coke. And now, at the time, I didn't do drugs, and I don't think you did either, Chris. But like,
I did.
Maybe you did. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
but I like didn't at all. But it was such an interesting situation. There are elements that could have changed in and out of the story that would have made me be like, you know what? I'll do it because this is really interesting. But it was just so terrifying.
Yeah,
it was just truly. What I'm saying is like. We're two people that are not completely closed off to the idea of doing cocaine. And we're sitting with a person who's famous and they start doing cocaine at the table. And we were still like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No way. No, we got to get the fuck out of here, dude. It was like legitimately like this is awful.
Hold on. I'm going to guess who this is. I'm going to guess who it is. It's somebody that wants to hang out with comics, which means is it a musician themselves? Is it one of those musicians that also thinks they're funny?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get it.
It's Jessica Simpson. It was Jessica Simpson.
Okay, good. Yeah. Thank you.
And she wanted to do us to. Well, we were gonna do. We were both interested in possibly having comedy albums on a record label connected to this person. And then slowly we realized like they just thought we were going to run a label and you and I don't know how to run a record label. And so it just kind of fizzled out.
It just, totally.
I don't know that. That's not my expertise and I don't have any interest. Yeah.
So. Yeah. That it's not a parallel to stand up comedy running a business.
I'm actually going through, it's like pretty heavy right now, but it's been over the course of the past 3 years. Cause Chris, like you said, I had that great show downtown. Holy fuck. I started that show when I was 3 months into stand up. And
really?
Yeah. And my introduction into comedy and the world of making stuff in comedy was
sold out audiences.
Right. That and producing that. One of the reasons I ended that show was because people's context for me was not that I was a comedian and that really bothered me. And, but now I've been running stuff and producing stuff because I just like kind of learned how and got good at it right away.
Sure.
And now I have been doing this however long and it's been like a never ending battle to stop myself from saying yes to it is what I'm saying. And it's really funny. I like we were just talking about. I agreed to try to run a label. And I was like, I don't want to do this. And and I'm still doing it. It's I don't know. I guess I don't know what I'm saying.
But
really.
There must be, Dave, can I say what you're saying? Sure. There must be something in you. First of all, it's a big accomplishment to make that adjustment and actually make it work. Mm-hmm. So once you're done with a series like Holy Fuck, where it really was a huge show, people wanted to be on it, whatever you were doing, it was working. So when you're done with something like that, it's very smart of you to want to collect up all that experience and take that somewhere else.
Totally.
Because you have to, as a stand-up comic, and for any stand-up comics who are going to like move to LA or whatever, get yourself like three other potential jobs, because you're going to need them.
Right.
Because being successful in stand-up comedy is vague, rare. It never feels right. Like the idea of you saying no one saw you as a comic, which I think that's probably a lot in your head,
sure.
But like you can do lots of things and still be a comic, and you should, because you're going to need that money.
100%. And you know what? I don't regret. I really don't regret it. I did that. I ran a storytelling show. I took a break for a minute, and then I started my show that I have now, Good Heroine. And I've like always produced podcasts and had sketch groups and stuff because of this exact thing you're saying. I like went on tour and booked my own tours. And I guess what I'm saying is I am now realizing that that was all positive and good, and it all contributed to me being the comedian and person I am today. And yeah, I'm grateful for the skills, and I'm sure that I will use some of them again, or maybe I'll like fall back in love with one of those things. But I'm realizing now that it, as hard as it is to learn things and how true it is that you have to do a million things to make it as a comedian, also dividing your focus is makes it hard to master something, at least for me, in the case of stand up. And so I'm now, after years of doing that, realizing what I want to be is a comedian. Solely, that's my number one priority, and I have to take all this stuff off my plate. But I have built the habit of saying yes to everything and making everything on my own. So I just keep on taking projects, and then I'm like, fuck, and I have to like take it off my plate. And it's like a weird process that's the opposite of that. But I think it's also good, because it's always learning, you know? And it really is. Like, I don't know, if there are young comedians listening, I can't recommend this enough. Do everything, do all of it, and then you'll find out what you love, and then get rid of the stuff you don't love. And that's what I'm going through right now. Yeah.
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 Also, I think the only people who can really focus on stand-up have rich dads. I mean, like, truly,
yeah.
Who are the people who can be like, you know what? Like,
right.
This is all I'm doing, or whatever, unless you somehow get into the place where you're starting to headline theaters. But
right.
Until that time, that's the big lie of LA.
Sure.
Is people pretending
yes.
that they're... it's fine and they're not broke and freaking out, or that they're not rich and everything is paid for.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so true.
And I had to teach myself to start saying no to things in the art world, because I was always kind of supplementing my comedy career with doing art. And like you're talking, they would sometimes coincide. I was, I can make my own posters, but I was usually doing it for other people. And even though it's somehow related, it's two different doorways. And if you want to go through one, you're wasting time with the other. Even if you enjoy it, like I enjoy doing art, and I used to do it for a living, but I do it less and less now, because I feel like it just occupies my time. It's not.
Yeah. I mean, there just is limited time. I would say there, ironically enough, lately has been even more limited time, I think, is the reason I'm thinking of it. Like, we are all inside, and so we technically have more time, but I cannot manage the amount of things I used to manage anymore. The way that I feel indoors, it's just true. I wish it weren't. I have the mental health concoction I have, and it just is. And I also, the other reason I'm going through this is that I spent quarantine, you know, I mean, if you look at the internet, everyone's happy and a fucking millionaire in our lives. and they're all like, I just know so many people that in quarantine got like 10,000 more followers and like whatever. I don't know what they're doing. They Twitch stream and all this shit. I did all of it. I like taught myself to stream. For my house, I like turned my home. I'm in this office now, but I had like a poster wall behind me, so it looked artful behind me. And I was like, I had two podcasts going, and then I started a Patreon with another podcast on it. And I was just doing all this stuff, making videos out of my room. And I was never happy for a moment. Like, truly, like, not even for a second. And the sick irony of all that is that when we started to come out of quarantine was I went to like one open mic and I was like, whoa, I hate all of that. And I just stopped doing it. And it's weird. I'm in this strange place now where I have this similar frustration with LA, Karen. Well, I guess I should say I have a frustration with LA that you just punctuated with that just very real fact no one says. And so while it's true I'm not rich, I do have a little bit of income from comedy for the first time ever, which is nice. I have like some money coming in from Sirius from my albums, which is good, right? And so that makes it a little easier. And that's probably what makes me think this. But I like really, as much as I'm not a rich kid and I don't have someone bankrolling my life or career, and I've been terrified most of the time I've been a comedian, I also am like so over doing the things I don't want to do. I don't know if it's that quarantine really made it clear in my mind, but like the stuff in comedy that I don't like to do makes me feel so bad. I just don't think it's worth it anymore. And I include Twitter in that list. Yeah. I can't stand it. I don't know. The dialogue around comedy like 5 or 6 years ago was you got to do all of it. Comedian, you gotta do stand up every day. You gotta have a sketch group. You gotta have a podcast. You gotta have a Patreon, Twitter, Instagram. You gotta dance. You know what I mean? And so I did all of it and I got to a certain level of experience or being good at each of them. Some of them I was actually good at. Some of them I faked it. And then it just turns out that I don't know. I just don't know if it's beneficial to your career to do a thing that slowly gets you 10,000 followers over the course of 5 years, but also simultaneously slowly chips away at your sense of well-being. I don't know, man. I think we might be doing it wrong.
Is that why you said on Twitter, haven't you just every day been, typing what day is it?
I have a bot programmed to tweet what day is it every day at 12:15 p.m. and I also have a podcast that is honestly that I love so much, and so I'll dip into my Twitter and I'll use it to promote the podcast, but that's really it generally. Sure. And then I go back and delete. I also deleted all of my tweets except for like 5. And then, so it's just, what day is it? And you can look back. It's been going for 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah.
But don't you think it's changing? Like, I can barely be on Twitter anymore. I'm only following like weird astrology accounts and then like 4 people that I actually like.
Cause there was a time, Karen, where you were looking at Twitter every hour. Like, I remember you were way into it to where I'm gonna get into it too.
We used to call you Twitter Kilgariff.
No. That breaks my heart.
Closed doors and you just opened a door, Dave.
In fairness,
Dave, you open a door, you're gonna need to shut it.
In fairness, you did perform as a rapper under that name.
Yeah.
Twitter Karen, what was that song
you used to do, Karen?
I used to say, my name is Twitter Karen and I'm here to tweet.
That's a
big difference.
JK, I don't tweet that. I delete, you know?
Delete. That's when Dave comes in, because we're going to be a rap trio.
Totally.
We'll work on it and figure it out by the end.
Twitter Karen and delete Dave. yeah, that's right.
But I think everything is changing because you're right. It's like the context of the world is changing so dramatically that doing the thing we did 5 years ago makes no fucking sense. And
right.
the kind of cognitive dissonance it creates by pretending everything's fine and pretending, like every time I write a joke that's just a plain joke and I post it, for the first thing I think is, I think I've already tweeted this. But then I also just go, who cares? Like, this is the emptiest thing in a world where we literally have Nazis on the street.
Right.
Like, yeah. There is real issues, like, on the ground, in front of us, homeless encampments, like, right. shit falling straight up apart, and you're up here going, like, a duck walked into a doctor's office.
Though?
It's just, like, it's insane.
The more I've done stand-up lately, and I've been doing it a lot, people want to hear those duck jokes.
I
don't want to hear you know your so Nazi funny is, in the street joke. They,
no, they don't.
Even
it's
though
not funny.
It seems like there's pressure to do it, you have to do it so well.
I will say, though,
light.
That I think that both of those feelings are, like, valid and worth holding on to, because I feel the exact same thing. I feel like it is weird to pursue or like chase after something that is selfish in this like fucked up world, right?
Right.
Yeah. But at the exact
that's
same
the
time,
confrontation. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So you can all you're doing. You're going to live. You're still living. All you can do is try to put positivity in the world.
Right.
And so I actually like, I am similarly not really writing, but I know that this is just for me. I'm not really writing and performing jokes that are challenging people politically for this reason, Chris. But at the exact same time, I think, Karen, that like, I just couldn't agree more. And I think it's like, I think, for that reason, you gotta only do what actually matters to you, right? That's the yep. thing, is that we're out here doing stuff that didn't entirely matter to us.
Yep.
And I think if you're out here doing stand-up and you don't really love it, then, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not gonna tell you not to do something in your life. Do whatever you want. But, like, it's not gonna make you happy, and it might make the world worse.
No, a know? Lot of those yeah. people are gone.
Yeah.
It's weird how often the improv is giving me. They're like, "Do you want to do it this week too?" I'm like, "Where is everybody that used to be in my? They were comfortably an obstacle in my career, and now it's all open, and I don't think I'm good at it yet."
Man, like, I gotta get
no,
back
no,
out.
No, I'm still relearning. Can you book someone else? They moved away to become a lobbyist, and I'm not talking. You know, everyone went to be a lobbyist.
No, it's a weird time. But also, I think that to your earlier point, Dave, the idea that doing things because you think you're supposed to, that's a very stand-up comedy culture mindset.
Yeah.
It's you heard other people talking about it one night at a show. And so you also have to get on Ello. Like, remember that shit where everyone's yes. like, you have to get on Ello.
Yes.
That's the newest thing. And I remember being like, well, I simply don't care. So I'm not going to get on Ello. But all these people were like, here I am over on Ello. No one went over.
Right.
And everyone realized, oh, these things aren't, you're not going to get or lose anything for not being on another fucking platform.
Right.
That's marketing. And that's basically you being persuaded by like marketing in a lot of ways. And you're making decisions not based on what you want to do or what inspires you
yeah.
or what you have an idea for, but to compete it with the fear that you might fall behind.
Right.
It
right.
never works.
Right. Yeah.
It's
now,
funny,
I will say that 4 days ago, I did get on TikTok, and
yeah.
I just did it. Now, here's the only thing I will say in my defense, because I do just agree. And for forever, I was like, I'm not going to get a TikTok. I hate it. I don't want to be on more social media. And then I was just like, yeah, but what if it actually does happen to help? So here's what I'm doing. I have a bunch of clips that I'd made for Instagram. I'm going to put them up. And if I don't have a bunch of followers in a month, I'm going to delete my account. And I like really mean that. I really think like, because I do hate it. But if all I have to do is upload things I've already made and I get yeah. followers, like who cares? I'll do that.
Yeah. Because yeah, so, the benefit, not to be nerdy.
Yeah.
But the benefit of TikTok is people can grab anything you post and post it anywhere. It's not
right.
guarding it from everyone like Instagram's like, yeah, you can share it amongst our group, but.
Right.
That's what I realized about TikTok is you can put something up there and then other people share it in other places. So I'm on there too, but I haven't done any dancing or lip syncing.
We'll get
guys,
there.
That's where the real money is. But, you got to learn those dances.
But you know what? I've gone on there and gone down this wormhole of people, putting their filter of their mouth on their cat and they lip sync. Oh, mama. Oh, la cha cha cha. And I watched a bunch of them in a row and my day was better because it's what I'm gonna do right after we're done recording, but
my sister's big into TikTok because my niece who is 14 is big into TikTok, and my sister sends me TikToks that she loves, and there's an account called Korean Dad, and it's a guy talking into the camera. He's your nice Korean dad, so he goes, come over here, do you want to eat a sandwich? And he talks to you as if you're his child, and he's really supportive and he's really nice, and he is like, he's always like encouraging you to share your feelings and telling you you're great, and then if you had a hard day, you're going to have a great day tomorrow. It's one of the cutest things I've ever seen.
That's fantastic.
And it really does feel like there are people who get that. There are people who are answering that call of we are in unprecedented times that's really fucking with almost everybody's head.
Yeah.
And what can you do that isn't just self-serving, but actually is kind of like there's a little bit of give back in it. And it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to see.
There is a certain corner of TikTok. My friend Justin sent me this series of videos that was two like aggressive dudes just like stone faced looking into the camera. And you're like, okay, this is going to be some macho shit. But they're just like, what are you upset about, man? She dumped you? That sucks. You don't need her, but not like in a negative way, not against her. You're going to be okay. Just bring some positivity into your life. It's these two dudes just like yelling.
And they're all like,
focus on yourself. It's going to be all right. You have love. And there's this like whole
are they exceedingly muscular? Because otherwise I'm not listening.
They are muscular and they seem angry.
Okay. Maybe it wasn't
her saying
fault.
Positive things.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah, that's the new way. Culturally, there is a positivity wave that's happening. It's we call it the Ted Lasso effect at my company. But because everyone is, we've spent the past 5 years being super fucking stressed and scared for our lives. Many people, you know, to gradient degrees, but in a way that we never had to deal with before.
Yeah.
So it's just like you don't realize. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I like to have fun. You know what's funny is you just watch me. I don't know how long are we talking about that.
I like to have fun.
I do. I'm fun. I'm a fun guy. How that was 20 minutes or 15 or whatever of me being real fired up. I get so mad because of what you're talking about, Karen.
Well, Dave, but you have a fever, buddy.
Well, there's
sick.
That too. But
you're sick, Dave.
But I was just doing it to lead into saying I'm not doing stand up about it for that reason. It's not funny to me. And what? I know that some people do, like Will Weldon's perfect example. Like he gets so fired up and he just gets funnier and funnier. I just get mad. I start crying. You know what I mean? The crowd's like, is he all right? I go up there and I talk about poop or Starbucks or whatever. And we all forget about it for a half an hour. And
those
that's
are
what
just
I have
things
to
I rap about.
Poop
those
and Starbucks? Yeah, well, they are
those
related.
Those are Chris's areas.
Yeah. The Starbucks poop conservationist rapper. I know why they call you Doc Brown now.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
See, dude, I will hire you. Oh, also, I showed a bunch of my friends you just made all those sports mascot. I hope they're shirts that
they
just
are
say,
shirts.
I hate you, Dad, or what are some of the, can people buy those?
So, yes. There's a website. It's www.emo.football. And I found a sports logo design generator online.
Yeah.
And I was like messing around with it and I started making a bunch of designs and people wanted shirts. So I'm selling them. They're also, if you want to make your own, there's a link to the generator on the site. I felt weird about it. So, because literally the generator does a lot of the work. And so I was like, is this okay to sell? But whatever. I don't know. Apparently I own all.
It's okay to sell if people want to buy. Right. Sorry, I'm a capitalist.
Hey,
well,
yeah,
no, that's
me
what
too.
You commies.
It's generating it. Yeah, it's generating.
And I edit it, and yeah. But I've because it's doing some of the work, I didn't feel good about it unless I posted it.
Yeah, what are some of them? I'm not thinking of good ones. Like, I'm sad, and it's just a beaver with a helmet. Like, but they look like...
Honestly, that's not that far off from what mine are. Like, there's one that's like a football player in the play's about to start stance, and it says, "Do you know a good therapist?" Stuff like that.
They're great.
There's
they're
a baseball great. Logo of a guy about to hit a ball, and it just says "help." It's like stuff like that.
All of my friends were interested because they're all skateboarders, and they're not a team sports person.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, it's a funny thing that you did.
Also, imagine if someone wore one of those shirts to a professional football game, and people in the crowd saw it, and then were like, I do need help.
Wait.
And it really actually led people to get help in some way.
I hope so. I really hope so. Yeah, thank you.
Then you earn that money.
Man, I am a fun guy.
You know what? I am a beaver wearing a helmet.
I do know a good therapist.
Deep down.
Yeah, I was a good therapist all along.
They're just conversation starters to conversations that will lead nowhere that you wish you weren't in. But you know, still, get the shirts.
I will say they're all so there's a lot of them that are just jokes about mental health. But then there are a couple that say one of them just says "eat shit." It's like it looks like a it's just like it looks like the Blue Jays logo, but it just says "eat shit" instead. And then there's one that says "fuck you, idiot." And there's like a hot dog. And I just want to point out,
oh yeah, the hot dog.
I want that one.
There are the "eat shit" one is very funny to me because that one is one of the ones that has sold a bunch. But it is the only one that of all the genders of people that buy, which it is across, it is like the gamut of genders will shop from the emo football store. Only men buy "eat shit." yeah. It's and
it's kind of a it's just a dude thing to say.
Like as a girl, you can't wear a shirt around that says "eat shit,"
right?
Because then the guys that will talk to you.
Oh yeah,
they'll be shit. They'll be coprophilia. They'll have interests that maybe you don't want to be drawing to.
They'll be like, oh my god, she eats shit too.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you love eating shit.
Yeah. Oh great.
And it's just a big Doberman.
Come hither, scat men. Just open the scat man doors. Oh god.
I think we opened this podcast with the scat man doors, and now we're closing it with the scat man doors.
You know what? If we're nothing if not consistent.
Yes.
I love
it's
poop.
It's true.
I do, man. Oh. I love shitting.
Whew. What a relief.
Yeah, truly.
What a release.
What a both, you know?
What a everything. Dave, so you have your hot dogs telling you to fuck off shirts, and you just plug that. Is there anything else you want to plug before you go? And is there anything else you want to talk about before you go?
Yeah, I mean, I have a podcast called What's It Called? And it's just my favorite thing. We have so much fun. I would love it if you listen to it. It's the website is whatsitcalled.rodeo. And it's honestly, there's no theme. I have no way to sell it to you. If you thought I was funny, you might like it. It's called What's It Called? My friend Caleb Sinan and I, we don't know what our podcast is called. And that's what we just...
Oh, that's great. Because Karen and I were doing that the first couple episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you know how we came up with the name. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. My website is davetotheross.com, davetotheross.com. And I have I have an album and merch, and I have my podcast and some other stuff. And some of it costs money and some of it's free. And looking at any of it is great. Truly, I don't know. We're all broke. I can't ask for money. But if you want to share it or watch or listen to that shit, you know?
Yeah, if people go on there and then they they're interested. If there's things you've created, things you've made, and they're willing to spend that money, that's up to them.
Totally.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. That's what my capitalist society that I am promoting is all about.
Totally. Yes, Dave. Do not apologize for soliciting your wares.
No.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, which I do every single time I come on this podcast.
We ask for it, though. It's called the plug section.
No, truly.
It's plug section.
It's what we do, and there's something about it where every time I do a podcast, I'm like, I'm sorry that I'm doing the thing I came here to do.
that every other comic does on every other podcast.
I also do want to ask you all to please register Republican and vote for Republicans, because I am a Republican and I love money.
Man, you pulled a 180 there.
Yes.
Yeah, Dave, that was surprising.
I just like the politicians, really.
Them as people. Yeah, they're great. Yeah. They have good vibes. Yes. They have good vibes as people.
Totally. Sure.
It's funny to go the times I've been in Washington, D.C., though, and you do see like young lobbyists, like political people. They're everywhere next to those buildings from Our Money and Forrest Gump. And they don't, they look the opposite of powerful. You'll just see some kid that's trying to end abortion. He's got his suspenders and there's just, his shoes are a mess and he's got mustard on his pants. And it's like, should I have gotten into politics? These guys are nerds, man.
I feel like they're the next wave. Like, you know, there's like, is IATSE striking yet? Or they
haven't declared the strike yet, as far as I know.
So that's happening, and all these stories are being shared about horrible working conditions on set.
Learned it today.
And obviously support IATSE, like, please. And I feel like the political world is next. Everything I've ever seen.
Yes.
Yeah. Like all of their assistants are just treated like shit. They like make them work nonstop all the time. You know what I mean? Like they all, DC is a city of 22-year-olds getting coffee 24 hours a day.
Yeah, that's who I was saying. I don't even know what my point was, but I was looking around like, God, all these guys are young kids.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Yeah, they're like interns. And well, it's the same kind of power system that's in Hollywood, where it's just like, well, if you want to work for this guy and you want to be up there someday, then you got to put in the bid and carry this pallet of water. It's
totally.
All the same.
There's millions of you, so it's okay for us to abuse you.
Which is changing. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, here's the thing. Gen Z ain't having it. And
real.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's cool.
And they're fucking banding together on social media and being like, go suck your own dick, please, sir. Yeah.
That's one of Dave's shirts.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Will you put, God, what would I like? I guess fighting Irish would be funny. And then it would say, go please suck your own dick, sir.
Sure. 100%. If you want to hang out for just a moment, I could probably bang that out real quick.
I'd like
for
it
you.
Better. Oh,
yes. We would absolutely love to watch
that
you.
One.
First of all, we'd love to watch you work.
I like that one, but it's the hot dog. I don't know.
Okay.
You're
no,
the
you
artist.
Chris, I would love for this to be a collab like we do with rap. So, Dave, do you have the time to show us two styles?
Sure. Absolutely. I absolutely do.
You're generating this as we speak.
As we speak, freshly generated.
I'm logging in right now. Okay, hold on.
Holy shit. This is art in action. Yeah. Guys, this is what people get into the arts for, electric feeling.
And you know what? A lot of you think art has to be seen. But it can be described.
Yes.
And we're going to describe the process and describe the seeing of it through audio.
There we go.
Oh, shit. We're about to see it.
I like
oh my
Irish
God, we're in.
Souls.
Oh, I know what I need to do. So what
Irish laundry logo. I like that one.
What was it that you wanted it to say?
Suck your own dick, please, sir. Is that what it was, Chris?
Okay.
But then it's a hot dog.
Suck your own dick, please, sir.
Generating. Please. It's generating.
Did you put a comma in there?
I did not put a comma
no, that's
in
fine.
There, but I feel like that's okay. The hot dog, they have different hot dogs, so I feel like this is
okay,
a
let's just go through some choices.
Dog.
Yeah, I mean, that...
This hot dog is dappy. Yeah.
And I don't really like that Western font. That doesn't seem right to me.
I don't like his derby hat. Oh, there we go.
I like how small the derby hat is, though.
Yeah. Now that
that's pretty funny.
I want like a taller
hot dog.
I always want a taller hot dog.
That hot dog is yellow, which I find disturbing.
I agree.
Can you adjust that color?
So, absolutely, I can.
It's in the accent category, I'm seeing.
The hat as a blue hat, and if you're not looking at the logo, we have reached the point where we have a hot dog. The hot dog is dabbing. It's a yellow hot dog wearing a blue bowler hat. And it says, "Suck your own dick, please, sir." And if you were looking at a shirt that said the Baltimore Ravens, "Suck your own dick" is Baltimore and "please, sir" is Ravens. I feel like that's accurate.
Yeah. Right? But both are Impact font, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh,
that looks nice. And now you can see the yellow mustard.
He has mustard on, guys.
Great.
I feel like that's done. I just feel like that's done. Well,
thanks for the new merch, Dave.
Awesome.
This is going to fly off the shelves.
Is there any way you can put "Do you need a ride" on there somewhere? Just even really tiny along the side of the bun?
Oh, sure. I mean, we can also just do this. I feel like this is... also pretty good. Now it just says, "Do you need a ride?"
Yeah, that's rad. I love that.
Let's see what happens when I type in Chris. Oh, there's a lot of Santa. Yeah.
Sure.
And like angry Santas? Like, why is this? Yeah, right.
The fighting Santas?
Yeah, the fighting.
I guess because, they're all supposed to be. Yeah, these are all.
Chris, there's our Christmas merch right there.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Dave, you know what, Dave? You just got the job as our new graphic designer.
Wonderful.
For
Thank
ride.
You. I would love to.
I really am. The drunk, shitty Santas. I love it.
Fuck, that's amazing.
That's why. Oh, God. This is an amazing app.
This is a great way to spend time.
A ripped Santa.
Oh, my God. That's like a Chippendales Santa.
This app is insane. I can't believe someone made.
It's crazy.
All of these.
It's crazy.
Man.
It's really. But there's something about it. It feels a little bit like a visual chat roulette where we watch Dave types. Then the kind of bubbles come up to let us know that it's processing.
Yeah.
And then you wait like it's a Vegas slot machine for the picture to come up. Yeah. It's so hilarious.
It's called placeit.net, and you go ahead and make your own shirts. The art is amazing. I'm actually really impressed with this technology.
Awesome.
Yeah, totally. It's mind-blowing that it's a generator that's just like a tool you can use.
And I hope we're doing a good job of verbally explaining the visuals.
Oh, I like that guy.
See, at least he's cute.
Can I just say that this is just a cute little teddy bear holding a bat, and that should be the one that says, "Please suck your own dick."
Oh, yeah.
Suck your own dick, please.
I like it when you flip it.
Right?
Yeah.
It's about contrast, always. Yeah. It's about contrast.
It's going to be a cute little bear saying that.
Yeah, 100%.
If we learned anything care of that.
Yeah,
from the movie Ted.
Okay. And he put the comma in for me.
Sorry.
Dave, it's a polite bear.
For anybody that, wants to use Dave as a graphic designer, which I don't think that's anything he's interested in doing, but I will say he's great in the notes process.
Yeah.
He listens.
Yeah,
he
hears
what you say and he interprets you correctly.
Or go to the website I mentioned earlier and do it yourself. Not to take away from how good you're at. You really know how to navigate the site.
Not to, but you literally are. Ooh. Yes.
All right. Well, y'all.
I mean,
should we do more audio or video? No, I don't.
Well, guys, I'm done.
I'm going to play. When we're done, I'm going to go to places.net. I'm amazed with this.
I'm so sorry. I said that reflexively because we've been narrating video for so long.
This could definitely be deadly content for sure. Chris, do you have anything you want to plug? You usually have a plug here or there?
I don't, but I will soon. I'm going on tour in the new year. It starts with Texas, a little Montana, and some St. Louis, but I don't have the details yet, but it's going to be great.
Love it. Yay, congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm just going to mention, we were on a 3-month break over summertime, but My Favorite Murder is back. In case you didn't know,
yay.
That We were on such a long vacation. I think people were like, I think they quit. So we're back. We're back now.
That's great.
That's great.
Yeah. Dave, thank you. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Get
better. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. I'm on the mend.
Take care of yourself.
And it's nice to see you.
It's so nice to see you guys.
You just got a cold.
Oh, yes. Me too. And also, I think I successfully wrapped up the happy bear whose team is Suck Your Own Dick, Please, Sir.
Oh, yes.
I'll send all this
that's
over.
Really nice. Of course, that it looks should amazing. Be on a baby blue shirt.
Yes.
Yes, that looks perfect.
Oh, that's going to be a nice visual, if not just for the promotion of this episode. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN, Suck Your Own Dick, Please shirt. AR!
AR!
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.